Doggy Doggy, we're back.
There he is.
Man, I'm trying to like fix my sock, but I was trying not to make too much noise. It was driving me nuts.
Hey, look, you're putting your pants on correct over your boot.
Well, because my sock was driving me nuts. It fell, so when I fix it, that's when I do it. But when I leave the house in the morning, it's just zip-zam-zoom out the door.
Gotta go.
The quicker, the better.
Welcome to the fast lane.
Welcome to life in the fast lane, everybody. How are we doing today?
Get out of the fast lane if you're driving under the speed limit.
Yeah, I am openly not obeying the law right now.
The fast lane is the one on the left, people. Get out of it.
Yeah, move. Or I'll use the shoulder.
I don't do that. You got to go. I'll just high beam you.
Yeah.
In my huge F450.
You don't even need it. Well, no, you don't have the ultra brights now, do you?
I do. Those lights are stupid bright.
The old ones were stupid bright.
The old ones were
the old
ignorant.
350, that was kind of retarded.
It was ignorant. It was like the sun was coming at you.
All right, so I'm asked this question now because I'm like, this would be a good question to ask. So we're talking about how there's like tiers in life, and there's like it's not really, I don't necessarily call it a hierarchy because you can pretty much reach anybody when you can, but you have to be able to provide value to them, right?
Copy.
So I was curious who you would think would be on a different level, and I think everybody's going to have a different perspective, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Or who is at the top, Bezos or Musk, and why?
I think Bezos is at the top, but I respect Elon more. Does that make sense?
Elaborate.
So Jeff Bezos was able to see the future. Like Henry Ford was able to see, like, you guys got to understand something. When vehicles began, there were no highways, there was no rules or regulations. It was just cars on dirt, right? And Henry Ford could see what we see today 100 years ago, right? So he had this crazy forward thinking. And same with Jeff Bezos. He saw where, you know, everything could be bought online and delivered to your door, and it was a one-stop shop, and he took it to the umpth degree, right? And so I have a high respect for the man that you know, in 1999, he was a nobody, literally a nobody, and now he's like the richest man in the world, allegedly. I think there's probably people above him that we don't know about, but I respect the fact that he, like, you look at Amazon, the name, it's got a little arrow, goes from A to Z, right, because he's thinking from A to Z. I love all of what he's been able to do and put together. Now, there's some negative to all of it, too, but I think he just financially and just has a bigger hold on it now. Elon, on the other hand, I think is a harder worker. I think he's got just as much vision. I don't think he's done. I mean, he just bought Twitter and turned it to X. I don't agree with the name, but no one else does, I don't think, either. But I think he's going to take that platform and take it to a level it's never been. And I think that he saw the automobile industry and he was like, look, electric isn't the total answer, but it is an answer. For the majority of people don't drive more than 30 minutes to work, and that's the majority of transportation is to work.
Yeah,
right. So I think Elon in the long run will overtake Bezos.
So you think long, so in like another, so if you were just compare them at age, so by the time Elon's the same age as,
yeah, I don't know what their ages Bezos. Actually are. I think just in terms of the ages of their, what they're trying to accomplish.
So the age of the reality.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know. Hold on. How old
I know Bezos is the same age as my parent. No, he's a little older than my parents. I think he was born in 63, I think.
So Elon Musk is 52.
Okay. So he's like 2 years younger than my parent. No, 4 years younger than my parents.
And Jeff Bezos is 60. So there's okay. An 8-year difference. And at their level, dude, you give Elon Musk 8 years to do something?
Oh, it's going
to
be stupid.
That's an eternity.
We might actually be on Mars.
Literally. I mean, I think the man can do it. And it all comes from both of them are in a constant push for greatness.
Yeah.
Just never ending. And I think it's a very good thing because everybody has a hard time with change. But once adapted to, it's an amazing thing. Like, everybody just takes for granted cars. Cars just work. Well, it wasn't, but 25, 30 years ago, we were still tuning carburetors, adjusting distributors, setting timing on cars. You know, it isn't what it is today. Too many people take that for granted. Like, I see people whizzing down the road, you know, in the slow lane, going 100 miles an hour, zipping in and out of traffic, and I'm like, you're not a race car driver, and there is a difference. Like, someone like me and my credentials, and there's a lot of me out there, I can name a bunch of them, we are phenomenal race car drivers, and it does translate to the street completely, but these new cars, they handle so well, and they perform so incredibly well, you take that for granted, and that's just the evolution of the automobile.
Such is life.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm an Elon fan. I'm not a huge Bezos fan. I think Bezos, right time, right place. I think he had a lot more of... I think there was a lot of luck involved in that. Because luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So he prepared. The opportunity hit. He cashed in.
And then he whacked it hard when the dot-com bubble hit. But I think it actually helped him versus hurt him.
I think it in the long... Typically, when we have a downturn in the economy, long-term, it helps all of us. Because we learn how to adjust and... I'll give you a great example, very near and dear to my heart, is MulchMate.
Yeah. Right?
It, whenever we had a problem with MulchMate, it was hard in the moment, but long-term made me better because I was able to take the irritation and I was able to then adjust something to make it better, which then overall made the product better, which then in turn helps the sales 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lesson to be learned here is that, you know, when Elon Musk was blowing up rockets, he didn't just build another rocket and throw it up in the air and blow it up again. They were making adjustments fast.
Yeah, and the crazy part is, I don't know if you've listened to his book, but he took essentially car parts and modified them so that they weren't $500 because the way that those bids work to send a shuttle into space is everything costs 100 times more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going off of a, what is it? I think it's like a time and material per se kind of schedule versus a upon completion schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So they would automatically write things up super expensive or mark them up super expensive versus what Elon was saying. He's like, we will do it to completion and then you get the bill at the end of completion, but it's going to be within this bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be, you know, a stupid amount of money. And he would do it for the fraction of the cost that NASA would do it or Lockheed Martin would do it.
Oh, that the problem, and this is the problem I have with government, is government budgets never get reduced. The goal is always to
make it bigger.
Well, you get a budget and it's like, we got to spend all this money because in the next year they're going to give 2 to 3% more. And then that just keeps going and going and going and going until we end up where we are now, where everything costs too much, but yet our incomes haven't gone up along with it. And they never will until we stop the overspending in the government. Once the overspending, once the hub of all money, the government, stops overspending, then everything else will follow suit. But like right now, we don't here at Dawson Manufacturing get anything made here locally, like in Maryland, because of all the DOD money.
Yeah.
Right. So every place we go here locally to have parts made, it's 10 times more expensive than it is in Pennsylvania or Southern Virginia or West Virginia or New York. And when I say New York, I don't mean New York City. I mean like Rome, New York.
Yeah, like Albany or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something way out there because, you know, the government money makes everything go up because we just, it overspends. So like what Elon Musk did is basically said, look, we're gonna take the route of let's go ahead and we can do the same thing for a tenth of the cost because we're not going to follow that same structure that Lockheed and Northrop have put in place.
Yeah. Now there are some things to be said about like tolerances and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
You have to,
lack of tolerance means more money.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to make it so that sometimes the parts have to be a little bit more expensive just because it's built to a certain tolerance.
100%. And we fight that here at Dawson Manufacturing. It's like building intolerance in some scenarios costs absolutely nothing except for design time.
Well, it's like you were telling me the one part that I have to tape. I don't know. I think it was the end caps for the tart tubes.
Yep.
You were saying you just...
There's our boy. It's got to be 10:30.
Is it? Yeah, 10:37.
Gosh.
So...
Humans.
The end caps, you were just saying you tried doing it without having to tape off everything. But the problem is once the stuff would wear down, then you would get it would get too sloppy, and then you would have issues of what would exactly happen with the tarp tube.
So the end caps, when we originally did it, our goal is to touch the part as little as possible. Meaning, once it gets made, if it has to get powdered, we don't want to have to plug a million holes or tape off a million different things. And originally, we would plug the holes because there's some tapped holes in this particular part, and then we would throw it in the oven or in through powder, and it come out. And this particular part, this tarp tube, goes into a bushing. And in that bushing, there's a certain amount of tolerance. And if you oversprayed that part, which is very easily done with anybody involved way before your time here, it would get really tight and bind up and put drag on the system. So that's first thing, that's bad. When you're putting that much bind in the system, it then wears the bearing or the bushing out faster. It takes the coating off it, which is a no-no. And then beyond that, once you did wear down the powder that's on the end cap, the way you're wearing it off is you're wearing down the bearing. So then you end up with all this trash, all this worn off powder, which then the bushing doesn't like, which then creates drag. And then by the time it's all said and done and all the powder's worn off and the bearing's worn, the powder coat's gone off of the end cap, now all of a sudden you have all the slop. And when you have slop, it then puts friction in areas it's not supposed to. It's not an even wear. And then that part ends up failing. What?
Lone Star,
suck it. That's an inside joke. It's an international truck, just so you know. Look, landscaper, driving by, needs a mulch man on that truck. But yeah, so it's that tolerance. It's cheaper for me to pay you to tape those areas off than it is to have those failures out in the field, right? Yeah. And it gives the bad rep is really hard to overcome, and we much rather deliver a product that costs more but has less issues over the lifespan of that piece of equipment, because every piece of equipment has lifespan. Nothing's forever.
Yeah.
So that's why we do it.
Cool. That was a fun little conversation.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Elon Musk. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. I like him too. I've been kind of trying to understand his mindset a lot more lately, especially as a lot of things are going on in the world. But let's hop away from that and go into what we want to talk about today. So,
yeah, sure.
I kind of like this because you and I had sent something to you, and then you kind of swung back with something very similar, which is quit trying to distract yourself. And I want to do that and touch on learn to manage your mind, because your headspace is key.
Yes.
And the problem is nowadays, as we touched on in the last podcast, was everybody wants to overindulge on information because they want to get smarter. They want to get smarter. They want to try getting better. And sometimes that's not always the case. You tend to overflow your mind, and then you don't actually grasp the information that you need to grasp. So let's talk about that a little bit.
So you just said that people want to indulge in information to get better.
Yes.
I, no offense, disagree. I think people are looking for their next dopamine hit. They don't realize it's that. And it's not to get better. It's to distract them from the realities of life that they're not managing correctly.
Well, then I'm fucked up because I do it because I want to try getting better, and then I overindulge, and then I go bleh.
Well, and that's what
I just get a mush brain.
Yeah, I've talked about this before. The way I handle it is I go through spurts of, you know, a month, let's say. I'll listen to a book or two on Audible, and then I stop. And then what I do is I let my mind process that information. And what I'm doing is I'm basically collecting all the data points that I feel are necessary for my growth, where I'm at, where not everybody's where I'm at. There's people yeah. above me. There's people below me. It's just like somebody that's 70 years old is just going to simply be smarter than me just for the sheer fact they've experienced more.
Yeah.
Knowledge is valuable, very, very valuable. And being, you know what I... Do you know what I think the most important thing you could ever do is?
There's a lot that I've heard.
Make decisions.
Yes.
So I actually suffer from something that I just heard here recently that I think is very true, and I knew it before, but I never was able to put like a word or words to it, and it's called decision fatigue.
I have heard that recently.
I've heard that recently here too, and it's true. I suffer from decision fatigue where... too many people look at me and they go, oh, what should I do? What should I do? And then they basically are saying, I'm not able to make a decision here. You are good at making decisions. I need you to make it for me.
So I've actually been trying to get away from... So I'll notice myself sometimes walking towards your office to ask you the question. I'm like, nope, don't do it. You know what to do. Just do it.
Yes.
And then I'll do the same thing with Sam. It's like I'll walk toward... And he'll sometimes think I'm roaming... But I know in my head exactly what I'm doing, and it's not that I'm roaming. It's that I had a question for him, and I'm like, I know what he's going to tell me, and I go back to do it.
And that's what that is. So the laziness gene is in all of us, and it is the most prevalent gene we have.
Yeah.
As humans. And I have it too. I am not immune to it at all, but here's what I am. I am very aware of it, and I very much focus very hard on not subduing it, but basically acknowledging the fact that I'm lazy as a human, and that if I can take my lazy gene, pay attention to it, then combine it with my will to move forward, to drive forward, and then apply it in a way that then helps me get to where I want to be quicker, it's the mulch mate, right? Mulch mate is basically, it derives from the fact that I don't want to shovel mulch anymore. I'm lazy. Call me lazy. Mm. It sucks shoveling mulch or rock or whatever. And there's a better way to do it. And I just came up with the best way to do it. It really is. I'm a lazy landscaper.
Press a joystick.
It would be way better if I could just, it's kind of like in a car. It's way
that
easier.
That dude is sitting in the middle of his back seat, just chilling there.
These guys that work over this place next to us are strange.
I look over and see?
Yeah, he's getting out of the left rear door. Wow. What a weirdo. Anyway, so what you've got to be able to do, here's the key, I think. Oh, he's wearing a mask too. Shocker. Anyway, here's what I think is a recipe for success. Lose the head trash, meaning stop getting so distracted. Start focusing on what will serve you, meaning, like, I don't just scroll through social media willy-nilly. Like, okay, for instance, I just got off a huge phone call with one of the biggest top dressing supplier places in the state of Florida. And it looks like we're getting ready to put an order together with them that is massive.
Sweet.
Massive. While I'm talking to them, I'm listening to what they're saying. And I'll give you one of the things that they said that that we were looking to add to our options list on the DMT is disc brakes. They want disc brakes because they hold up better.
Are they drum?
They're currently drum.
Okay.
Yeah. They're just more expensive for disc brakes. Disc brakes on trailers is rare, but it's way better. So they're hydraulic disc brakes. So they're not just they're not electric disc brakes. They're hydraulic. So they're way, way better. And then here's the beep. His brake's over. I was texting the guy at Belmont the questions I was getting from the soon-to-be customer. I'm very confident this is all going to work out very quickly, actually. And then I was getting responses from him, and it's going to be about a $3,000 option to add disc brakes to like 16K axles from Dexter. So
I didn't even know you could do that with trailers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just seems like a lot more.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
There is. And that's why it's $3,000 more. But it comes that way. So it's sweet.
Is it the same thing as like on a car? It has like a master cylinder too, and it's got a.
You know, I don't.
And how's that going to work with the. Sway Command.
I don't know. I have no clue. They'll have to figure that out.
Interesting.
I really don't know. Because I'm like everybody else. I've basically had drum brakes my entire life, and I only knew one person that never had electric brakes, and that's because his ding-dong butt was... he just liked everything to be as big as humanly possible. And it's, let me just say this. It didn't work out for him.
I'm a man.
He went out of business a long time ago. So... But these guys down in Florida want it because they want the absolute best, and I'm with them. I like the absolute best, and I just – anyway. So here, keys to success. Lose the head trash. Stop getting so distracted. Focus in the moment, right? I'm talking about the disc brakes because I was so focused on that conversation. I put the conversation on mute while my sales team was selling and talking and learning and understanding what was going on. I'm over here handling this, and then once I had that handled, then I'm working on YouTube analytics – while like on the back end, there's a bunch of stuff on the back end that you can do to help videos grab more attention and whatever.
I was doing the same thing for podcasts.
I'm not going to give away my secrets because it's working. But you can find that at Carlson Coaching at MulchmateUSA.com. Suck it. There's my shameless little plug.
I need to ding.
Ding, ding. And,
I don't think it's on the board.
We have to put labels on that just to make that fun. And then you have to be successful. You can't just haphazardly mosey around day by day. So what I always say is create lists, create win lists basically throughout the day, and you don't just be reactive. You've got to be proactive. You've got to basically become a fortune teller of sorts and be able to kind of know what's already coming. Like, I knew basically how today was going to work out before today even started. I just knew. Remember the other day when I brought donuts?
Mm-hmm.
That was me. I knew coming in, I knew everybody was going to be in an uproar.
And it was raining. And now, we had a massive delivery. And it was like...
I knew it was going to happen. And when... And get this. So I knew that was coming. And then our number one top guy ended up sleeping in on accident.
Didn't we have an issue with the forklift too?
Yeah. A wheel fell off the forklift that day. Guess who fixed it?
Me.
How did that happen? Too many rotations left?
No. Again, it goes back to... I don't want to throw this guy under the bus, but I kind of have to. You are your own worst enemy. Things happen to you because you.
Yeah.
So what had happened was we had new tires put on this forklift, and this one particular forklift, and the tire guy was just a tire guy. But he had said when he put the new tires on, there's this large nut that goes on that holds the tapered bearings at a certain tension, and then it has two tapped holes. You're supposed to put a cover on it and then a pin, and then it will not loosen up. It just can't. Excuse me. He had told my guy Sam. My guy Sam did a real quick Google search, couldn't find anything, and then just stopped. Stupid. So stupid. So when I heard about this, I was like, Sam, you cannot just stop. That's like cooking food and then not eating it. It does you no good if you cook it. So I said, just call Larry T. Weiss, the guy we bought the forklift from. Get the parts from him. He's 10 minutes down the road. And then so he did. He calls him. Parts are there here the next day. We got it. We put it on. The wheel falling off was not the wheel's fault. The wheel falling off was Sam's fault because he didn't follow through. And that's the thing that most people do. Their lazy gene kicks in. Oh, it's not my thing. I didn't do it. Wheel fell off. I don't understand. Well, you do understand because someone told you that you need to put this thing on and you didn't put it on. Why is that coming as a shock to you? Am I being too hard on Sam right now?
No. I just wasn't going to, because I don't have any information on it, and I'm not going to say something to it.
Well, getting back to being successful is being able to overcome things as quickly as humanly possible with as little collateral damage as possible.
Yeah.
That's it. And the only way you can do that is eliminate distraction, eliminate head trash, open your bandwidth, manage your time, manage your emotions, attack things with logic. Being able to predict the future is very simple and easy. You just simply have data. You collect. The reason this phone call that I just had, and I think it's going to go really successful with these guys, is because the number one thing that we kept going off of was we both, his company and my company, we have data. We have lots of data. This is not just an emotionally charged, willy-nilly approach to business. It is, okay, 1 + 2 + 3 = 6. That's just the way it works.
I'm glad you are talking about the data, because it was funny that came up this weekend while I was mowing. I was at a property. I have two clients that are in a specific neighborhood, and the two next to each other, just from the work that I have between the two,
mm-hmm.
is half of as much gross I brought in last year.
Wow.
And that's doing 20 lawns.
Wow.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm like, yeah, I was emotionally attached, but then at the same time, it's like, well, if I just focus on creating the value, creating the ability for the clients to be happy, well, then what do they have to question it?
Right.
So that's what I need to focus on, is being able to provide the value, be able to, like, right yesterday or 2 days ago, I looked at the business account, and I was struggling for a little bit last year, and now this year I look at it and go, dude, all the cards are paid off. I don't have to worry about debt. You know, I have the truck, but that's about it, and that's mm-hmm. just being paid off because that's just...
That's normal business debt. Debt is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, I got to a point where I was $10,000 in debt on the credit card because I was like, oh, I think I can make that work. And so it was an emotional purchase, like, oh, dopamine. Like, yeah. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Well, versus now it's,
yeah,
this is actually something that'll be worth it in the long run because of X or because of Y, and or, oh, I really don't even need that.
So let's talk about some numbers here. This is something I want to drive home, and most people will completely disagree with me, and that's because you're completely uneducated at what you're talking about. So let's go ahead and have this conversation. Money, okay? Debt is not a bad thing as long as it's managed and logically gone through correctly. Your boy Ben is one of them, right? Ben's a great guy. Love Ben. And
he is kicking himself in the ass right now, though. I know he's going to listen to this, and I just had to call him out on that because he
told
me that yesterday.
Well, let's just talk numbers here real quick. Let's say you buy a tool for $100,000, and it's a 15% interest rate on that loan right now. Right? That sucks. But what you don't understand is that if you put said piece of equipment on the property, okay, and it can then supercharge your production by 3 to 4 times, right? Your profit percentage will skyrocket 30 to 60%. And so, yeah, it may up front initially look like it hurts in the moment, but what you're really doing is you're taking, instead of grinding away at that 8, 9, 10, 12% profit margin, you can jump that thing to 30 to 60% just by buying one said piece of equipment, and then be able to then, instead of worrying about getting your, let's say, 100 jobs done a year, I'm just using willy-nilly numbers here, you're now, in using a multimeter, you can now double the amount of jobs you're getting. So yeah, your interest rate may suck buying the multimeter today, but by the end of the year, your percentage profits will jump to 30 to 60% depending on how you're using the multimeter. So like, I'll give you a great, for instance, if you're doing grass cutting, that trailer that's $50,000, right, with all the mowers and all that crap that you're yanking around, may generate you $100,000-$125,000 a year. But if you took and bought, you know, a $70,000 multimeter DMT rig, that rig can generate you $600,000-$700,000 a year.
With ease.
With ease. And you don't have the extra people, you don't have the extra maintenance, and you're still towing with the same exact truck.
Yeah.
So your short-term thinking is killing you long-term.
Well, it's because everybody looks at it as, oh, I have to pay all this money now versus, like, okay, MulchMate in itself is still, I'm going to call it a novelty product still. It has traction, but to a lot of people, it's still new.
Right? They think it's new because it's new to them.
Exactly. And it's, that's what I'm new. Saying. It's novelty because it is new to them.
Right.
So they're looking at it and going, I don't know exactly how this is going to help. And then once they see it working for others, or see it, okay, this is actually producing, you know, you could put down half the material, you could put down, you know, double the amount of material on... With less people in it's the same amount of time. So,
well, short, no, less time.
No, I'm saying double in the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're doing 2x versus doing what you would normally.
Whatever you're doing right now, cut the material in half, cut the time in half, and cut the people in half.
Yeah.
And then when we say cut it in half, that leaves you room to then double your company, Ben.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. It's just math. The thing, too many people get caught up in. They think efficiency is reduction in spending.
I think the other thing, too,
that's only half the story.
People only see it as, oh, I'm only going to be able to pull the material out of the trailer. Mm-hmm. They don't see it as a dump trailer, too.
It's a dump trailer. It's just a dump trailer. Like, if you want to go do a paver job, you can literally put a mini skid on the front. You could put CR6 in the back or concrete sand in the back, and then you could put a pallet of stone right in the side door of the Multimate DMT trailer.
Yeah.
If you're doing a small little 100 square foot little trash can spot or something like that, like literally one dude can go out with one rig and he can rake in 25. Like, I would never show up on a paver job for under $3,000.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. But if I could go out by myself with that one rig and knock out a $3,000 paver job, hello? Like, are you people listening?
You're sleeping.
And you could knock these out all day long. Not to mention you have a rolling billboard. Lyle said it himself. He literally didn't even get home yet with his rig, and he said people were asking what the hell it was. The Thompson trailer. We have a trailer here from a guy named Thompson. It's out back right now. But he's from Easton.
Oh, okay.
But there, truth be told, there was a screw up with the trailer. We had to fix it. Whatever, things happen. But he literally said he stopped at a gas station and was there for literally 2 hours because people were just like, "Dude, what the hell is this thing?" That's how much presence it has.
Yeah.
So you guys got to understand, in order to be successful, it's data based. It's not emotion based. It's not time based. It's all about collection of data and then being able to regurgitate that data to then make yourself more profitable and make it more sustainable.
Yeah.
That's the secret. And that goes into, like, I always like to use relationships as a generality, because we all have that, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're an animal, we all have relationships are all in all of us. Right. Yeah. So like, I'll give you a great, for instance, yesterday, a very successful thing that for me yesterday, which was really nice. I went home. Yesterday was the eclipse,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you guys are listening to this, this will probably be a couple weeks removed. But I went home without telling my family to be with my kids during the eclipse, because I know how much it means to my kids for me to be present.
Today's Ellie's birthday, isn't it?
Today's Ellie's birthday. Happy birthday, Ellie Belly.
Tell her I said happy birthday. Yeah,
I will. If she's born on the 9th. Yay.
Mm-mm-mm.
09.
It was fun. I was editing and I looked down. I was like, oh, it's her birthday.
Yep.
Because I remember she's 2 days after mine.
Yep. And happy birthday again.
Oh, man.
You're just
old.
Oh, we
still have cake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That little piece you brought me yesterday was delicious. Where was I going with all this? Shoot, you got me off base.
You wanted to go home with family for the eclipse. It was a
successful thing.
Yeah.
So I came home and gave my kids hugs, and the eclipse was just getting ready to start. And I looked up at the sun. It was really cool. You could see like a little bit of it cut away from the moon's block, and it's really wild. And the guy that washes my truck was there taking care of my wife's truck and my truck, which is, you want to talk about blessed? Oh, my God. I drive a F-450 and it's getting washed for me. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I never thought that day would ever come. Mm-hmm. I never even dreamed of it, to be honest with you. But it's super
next
cool.
Next time we're doing the
R8. Yeah, and I'm very, very thankful for the position I'm in, and it's incredible because there's so much growth ahead. But, you know, my wife's inside cooking food for the kids, and she's doing all this kind of stuff. And I come in and had seen her for a split second. Then I walked out to the garage. The car wash guy wanted to see one of my race cars. Excuse me. And she came out, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry that, you know, I didn't give you the attention you probably deserved. You came all the way home. Thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. She gave me a hug, and then she walks out, and the car wash guy goes, what's up with that? And I said, that's what a successful marriage is that when you pay attention to the data of the relationship and what means the most to them, and know their love language and know how to treat them, know when to back off, know when to push forward, know when to lead, know when to just take a chill pill, things work better. And he goes, wow, I've been married 17 years and that was beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, it we're working on it. It's always a constant, you know, evolution. Because we're all changing. I mean, dude, I'm way different than I was when I was your age.
Yeah.
Way different. So in order to be successful, I think, in life, it's data-based, and then it's emotional-based. Like, I know with sales, the numbers have to work, the subconscious has to be, you know, completely taken care of, and it has to have all those boxes checked, and then the emotions kick in, and when the emotions kick in, think of it this way. I used to know this guy named Chris Suit, really nice guy. He used to deliver hot tubs, and he also worked for my dad full-time as a copier tech. And Chris always said, you know, people will buy hot tubs at the drop of a hat, but they won't buy a copier, even though the copier made them money, or at least it used to. Today it doesn't.
It's pleasure versus...
It's emotional basis logic.
Yeah.
You know, or versus logic. So people would go in, and all you have to do is tell them, imagine this, sit in a hot tub with your favorite beverage in hand, maybe with a stogie, chilling, watching the stars, chilling in your hot tub. The credit cards.
That's easy. That is easy to sell.
That's easy because you're selling an experience. And that's what I always try to tell people with MulchMate is I'm not only selling you a product that's going to make you money, but I'm selling you this experience that it's going to allow you. The first thing I said to Kyle when he was on that job over the weekend is that he has no sweat ring around his
neck.
There
wasn't a drop on me.
Not a drop. And I'm reminding you in that moment of the experience that you were having. And that is what then solidifies, you know, Lyle's rig to you. And one day,
the shitty part is it punched me in the gut. And I was like, God damn it. Because Matt and I started a company together, mm-hmm. and doing a lot of stuff together. And he has always wanted to come back and like slowly regrow things. And I called him over the week and I was like, hey, I got an idea. Here's what I'm thinking. I want to go fast or hard. I want to go slow and steady, but I want to win. And I want to make it so that I'm able to do one day as like I manage it. And then the rest of it, I kick ass at Dawson, but I'm also understanding where your mindset's coming from. And I get all the business. Like, it's just going to be a whirlwind. And it's just gonna be like Scarlet Oak take over Maryland. And we're just going to freaking make it happen. But then you'll see mulch mates on every corner.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to be able to do that, honestly, from my opinion, my viewpoint, is you have to give the customer, based upon data, you have to give the customer the best experience where they do the least.
Exactly.
Let them just go, let them want and give them what they want.
And that's the plan.
Yeah. And but make then it also, easy.
But then it was like, Matt's really good with like HR and mm-hmm. understanding people. So like, if he could get into that role and then he can run the people mm-hmm. and then I can schedule the operations and run the ideas and figure stuff out there, mm-hmm. that would be perfect. And then his wife is fantastic at finances. I mean, she does stuff at, I think it's University of Maryland Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a lot of money that she's, you know, doing. Oh, a
lot of numbers. A lot of numbers.
So if she could manage that and say like, hey, data-wise, this section of the company's not doing good.
Right.
We either need to find a way to make it more efficient or we need to find a way to, you know, get rid of it or sub it out.
Right.
You know, if she can tell me that, mm-hmm. that would be awesome. And then I'm the ultimate decision of, hey, let's do this or let's not do this. But also make sure Dawson Manufacturing's cut today.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to – in your case, I've seen guys in your exact spot where they – I see this a lot with like firemen, policemen. They have their, you know, full-time steady gig, and in Mulchmate would be yours, hopefully. Dawson Manufacturing, not Mulchmate, Dawson Manufacturing. And that's what pays all your bills.
Yeah.
Right. And then these people, because that's, I've seen it male and female. Which, by the way, I gotta tell you the story about this chick in Georgia. Hysterical. I really hope she listens to this because she's been awesome to deal with. You know, I've seen people in your position, and then what they do is they grow these incredible companies on the side, and they end up making millions of dollars over there. But then you see them working at like a Ford dealer or as a fireman or something. It's like, what are you doing? And it's like, this recipe's working.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling cash from two tanks, if you will. If one tank ever dried up, you'd have the other. So that's nice. It's nice not putting all your eggs in one basket. Like, unfortunately for me. Unfortunately, but fortunately, all of my cash really comes from this currently.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I did that was I believe in laser focusing is the ultimate only way you can really grow something into a massive generational wealth spot.
Well, Alex Hormozy did that.
Right.
Because he had
got rid of everything.
Well, that was the other thing. Like initially he was doing the gym growth. So he would go out to the gyms mm-hmm. and take like a month to launch them or get them up to their maximum capacity per se. And then he was getting tired of it. And there was one, he was like, you know, I can't make it out there because I just don't feel like it, essentially. Like, he was burnt out.
Right.
And then he goes, okay, well, what if I just sell you the process? So the guy was saying, what if you just sell me the process? And he sold him the process and got him up to speed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if that works, I can just do that from here. So mm-hmm. then he put the focus into, how do I sell the process from my, you know, personal location? I don't have to move. I just do it from where I'm at, get everything together, send it out to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was his laser focus. And then he went from that and then had somebody run that, and it was like a once a month thing or a once a week thing. They would check in for an hour, and then he would run through the decisions, and he'd mm-hmm. go over to this other thing, and all the focus was into that.
Mm-hmm. But I bet you they all had something in common. I bet you.
Oh yeah, it was all gym related,
right? So that, like, I see lots of people always like, oh, seven different incomes, whatever they call it, right? Different incomes. And it's like, the thing that I never hear anybody ever talk about is the most successful people, yes, they have multiple streams of income. But the thing that I don't hear is there's always a connector.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, here at Dawson Manufacturing, we've got all kinds of incredible tools, right? So we've got the media side. We've got lasers and welders and powder coating and all this and that. So, like, for instance, I could use powder coating, for instance, Kyle, you're you know, heading that up right now. I could ultimately, you know, start a whole powder coating company based off of the fact
also, that... Also, by the way, what color am I doing those parts that you threw in my booth?
I put the handlebars...
They're on the bench.
On the bench, because that's going to be that color you're on.
Okay, the texture black.
Yes. But I think we need to drill holes in the handle.
Okay.
So we can do that, because there's going to be handlebars over it.
Okay.
Excuse me. So, but the other ones I set to the side, because those are going to be orange.
Okay.
The fork, and it's a bicycle that we're powder coating for one of my decal guys. The chassis and the forks will be orange, and the handlebars will be textured black. But, you know, what? Getting back to these crazy, super successful people, take Jeff Bezos, right? Jeff Bezos started Amazon, and then everything that he did that creates income, like AWS and all the other different branches, are all connected to a center thing, which is Amazon.
A hub.
There's a hub, and then there's all these branches. It's not like when I wanted to start the rim manufacturing company. The only reason that I even attempted that was because we have CNC machining companies that we work with that could do it.
Yeah.
But it was too distant, and then after running all the numbers and collecting all the data and doing it all, I ultimately said no to it because it took my attention away from MulchMate, and it was not a direct wing off of us. There was a connector between us and it.
It was a part of your hobby, which is cars.
Right.
You call that a hobby, you call that a passion. I don't know.
I don't know. It could be either one.
I mean, it's like, it's so ingrained in your blood. But either way.
For me, it's therapy.
Yeah. Your therapy.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it would have been cool for you to be able to make the money out of it. But at the same time, you knew from the data that this wasn't going to be the most profitable thing. Everything for at least the Dawson manufacturing wise runs back to landscaping.
Yes. Did I hear that right?
I don't know. Did you?
Say it again.
So the rim manufacturing is part of a hobby / passion / therapy.
Yeah.
Right? Versus the landscaping or the dust manufacturing, it hubs to landscaping.
Yeah.
So you're in two totally different sectors, essentially.
Yeah.
And trying to make one tie into the other doesn't really work, even though, yes, it is manufacturing that we're doing here,
mm-hmm.
and that's technically manufacturing. It didn't relate into a corresponding field.
They're really far apart. They are and they aren't. The amount of
the amount of guys who run around with the big ass wheels and rims.
Right.
Yes, I get that.
Think of it like this: like when we look at promoting each product, right? The trade shows that we would go to promote the products, or the magazines we would go into, are two totally different things.
Oh yeah.
So the expenses of growing those two would then double.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough meat on that bone for that. Now, one day I would love to start a whole other sector of this business in the automotive side, because dude, there are so many cars out there, like Broncos. I want to build products for Broncos. But right now,
Bronco R Us.
Yeah. MulchMate is not at its ultimate form yet. It's just not. There is more meat on that bone, and if I start distracting myself by going after...
You'd be leaving a lot left.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat on the bone that I've already got the bone in my hand. I'm already eating at it. Why drop it when there's still plenty of there to grab?
Did you clean the wing?
No, I didn't clean the wing. I didn't take one big bite and swoop off all the meat. What I mean by that is stay focused on what's at hand and get all that you can out of it, right? And I think I personally think that we've only eaten maybe 2 or 3% of what meat is here in front of us. And you know why you would change this? I would go away from this because I'm bored.
Yeah.
That's the biggest downside of an entrepreneur I know, is boredom. We get bored very, very quickly and easily because we like a challenge, and we like new, we like shiny, we like grow and explore. It's not fun. I'll go back to relationships again. You know, you get bored in a relationship when you're not manifesting the next level of that relationship. You're very you're very much looking at the facade and not the depth of what is inside that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, there's, take it from me. I've had a great relationship. I've had bad relationships. I've seen him come. I've seen him go in all I've had my best friend blow his brains out, right? Like, that's hard on someone. I've dealt with that. I've dealt with extreme family issues. I won't get in the depths of all that, but I'm talking about some of the worst things that could happen in a family I've dealt with. But when it comes to being successful, most successful people know how to look at what they have in front of them and go after every bit of meat on that bone and enjoy the journey and be able to then get all they can get out of it. And then once all that meat's gone, then they'll move on to something else.
You manifest the best.
Yeah, you will. And I wholeheartedly believe in manifestation. I'd love to hear from you guys if you believe in that. I know that my father used to tell me as a child, he said, whatever you think about the most and believe in the most will become true. So if you're constantly saying, I'm a clumsy person, I have terrible luck, good things never happen to me, guess what? Nothing's good going to happen to you. You are going to be clumsy because that's what you believe. Whatever you believe will become true because that's what you're looking at. It's called RAS. It's this netting around your mind, and you will only see what you want to see. And that is, you know, if you want to be successful, first off, stay humble. Success is an always moving target. It's like I always go back to an airplane. An airplane never flies level. It's either going up or coming down.
Yeah.
The nose is always up or it's pointed down. There is no coasting. Coasting, you're going to fall. You're going to lose altitude. When it comes to being successful and getting all the meat off the bone and grabbing a hold of all of that you can in whatever it is, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business, whether it's a golf game, you've got to stay focused or you're going to shank the ball in the woods.
Oops.
It's just going to happen. It's like in racing, right?
It'd be nice if I could just hit the ball in golf.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take you golfing. I'll teach you. It'll be a lot of fun. Golf is one of the most amazing sports out there. Even if you've never played it, I promise you it's better than you think.
Just to help everybody, though, if you want to look it up, it's called Reticular Activating System.
Yes, that's the RAS that I speak of. That is insane to dive deep into that and learn that like I have. It is it will blow your mind, the RAS. I'll give you, for instance, I remember when the VW Beetle came back out.
Oh, my God. Remember the old punch buggy shit?
Right. So once I start talking about it, you'll start seeing VWs all over the place. Or it's like if you're looking at buying a new car and you're like, you really want this, I don't know, Ford F-150.
You see Ford F-150s That's everywhere.
All you're going to see. And that is your RAS working. And that goes with negativity as well. If you look at the world in a negative way constantly, all you're going to see is negativity. That's all you're going to see. So what I'm saying is be mindful. Like I have a saying, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
That is me saying, hey, watch your back in everything, right? Don't let people take advantage of you. But in order to be super successful, you can actually step forward in front of all that negativity. And honestly, you can kind of get away from it if you can stay focused on what you're trying to do and don't get bored. The reason you get bored is because you don't love the journey.
Yeah.
Love the journey. The goods and the bads.
The journey.
Yeah. Get in love with like being the badass that can fix any problem that comes your way. Isn't that true?
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes you think you're doing good and then you turn out it was a mistake and you didn't notice that it was going to be a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, so I was powder coating the truck side mounts yesterday. And I had a damn good system. The first batch came out beautiful, although the first part when I did the backsides first, and apparently backside for me isn't right.
Right.
I have to do the inner corner and then do the backside.
Yeah.
But I normally do the backside because that's the thing that you normally forget. So did the backside first, then I went to come through the front, and I missed the front on just a couple of parts, but I got all the backsides nice and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I only have like two or three parts to put back through, but I get agitated every time one or two parts come out and I miss a spot or it's light and I'm just like, God damn it. So, but it's part of the process. You're not going to have 100% perfect batch all the time.
You can. Just not all the time.
Exactly. And yeah. Even if you run through with a flashlight, like I've been very cognizant of making sure the corners are good. And especially after Craig pointed out a spot the last time I ran these parts through, which compared to last time, this is an A+.
Good.
So, but I missed one or two inner corners, and I'm like, you know, I might as well just put them through since I'm on the color and I have to put the Mulchmate sides in. So,
so I'm going to give you my quick overview on that exact subject, and I'll tell you where I got this from. I personally hate that light in that booth, mm-hmm. the little flashlight. You should never need that. And,
yeah.
here's where I learned it. So I have a step family, whatever. They are the greatest people on the planet. I love they're the Alders family. I love them to death, and I would literally take a bullet for them. They are that good to me. But the one aunt of mine, her name is Wendy. She's an artiste. She is a free spirit person, doesn't own a home, bounces from home to home to home to home. I don't think she listens to podcasts, but if she does, hi, Wendy, love you. she's an incredible person. And because she's an artist, she taught me something about art, because I've always kind of been interested in art. Like, I think one day if I make the kind of money that I hope to make, my house is going to be full of art. I see an art gallery and I just stop. And I just look.
I don't think I've ever been in one.
Oh, I love art. I love great paintings. I love great photography and display.
Okay, photography I enjoy. Art, I haven't been able to wrap my head on it.
Well, see, so here's where I learned. I was the same way, and she taught me how to appreciate it. It's lighting. So when you look at something, most people just see the colors and the shapes and kind of in a 2D, right? And what I've learned is it's the lighting. So when you look at something up here, like there's a soundproof wall behind us right now, and there's all these little triangles everywhere, all over. Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Going through puberty or something?
Yeah, I wish I was that age, man. I saw a picture of myself from that age this morning. I was like, man, I look so young, so old now.
I miss it.
I miss being that pretty. I spit, sorry. But if you look in these lines on the wall, see how they're dark, but then there's like the light on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to see the light in the photo, and so when it comes to like the beauty in something, it's not always what you're looking at, but the lighting on it and what direction it's coming from. And it's no different than cloudy day versus a bright shiny blue sky day. It's the lighting that makes everything look so good. It's so, you know about the golden hour?
Mm-hmm.
So like when in photography or in movies, the golden hour, the reason it's so good is because the lighting is so good.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so special. So when it comes to seeing everything, if you can shine the right light on it, it's going to look great. So that's my take on that.
I can agree, because when I have just regular sunglasses on, it's like meh. But if I put like the Prism Oakleys on,
mm-hmm. Well, yesterday was a great example. Yesterday I went home and watched the eclipse with the kids, right? Well, I didn't realize it, but I had my sunglasses on, and I put the little safety glasses to look at it over.
You're like, I can't see shit out of this thing.
No, I could see it better.
Oh, yeah.
Because my glasses, I wear like a, they dim, but they also brighten at the same time. It's weird because they're polarized and special lenses, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I buy high-dollar lenses because I'm that guy. But you can get them on Amazon for $10, and they don't hold up at all. One yeah. speck of water and it just wipes right off. It's awful. So mine are a little bit more expensive. But when I looked at the eclipse with my glasses on, with the safety glasses over them, I could see it far better. And then I took my glasses off and just put on the safety glasses, and I could barely see it. I'm like, that's weird. And then I realized, I'm like, oh my God, these lenses are actually helping. So going back to being successful, if you just take the time, enjoy the journey, put on the glasses that protect you but brighten things.
You should have seen our boneheaded asses yesterday. We didn't have any solar glasses.
Out there on the welding helmet?
No, we took four of the laser glasses and then a pair of sunglasses and put them up to one another. We're like, damn, you can actually see that perfectly. But you had a set of glasses that's like 3 inches thick, and we're just
let me guess, that's a Jamieism, isn't it?
No, I did it.
Oh, geez.
I was like, give me. Watch this. Whoa.
So, yeah, I would highly recommend winners never get mad. They learn in those hard moments. They go, okay, note taken. Next time, let's get better.
Yeah.
And I watch it in racing. I watch it in sports. Hello, there's dogs barking everywhere.
That was Captain first that time.
My gosh, what are they doing?
Will.
Oh, is it Will? Just like Mike, he's probably taking one of my Celsius, little bastard. He does a lot for us, so I'm not going to say a word. But yeah, taking a really good approach towards all this kind of stuff and understanding what can bite you, but then going, okay, let's move forward here. That's key to success.
Enjoy the bite. That sounds bad.
Enjoy the bite?
Enjoy the bite.
Enjoy the bite. I don't get that one. What are you referencing to?
I don't know. So I always enjoy, like, sometimes a smack in the face always helps, and everybody gets butthurt about it, and then they, like, sulk in it versus, like, just take it with a grain of salt, fix it, and get better.
It's hard. There's a lot of situations. I've been in one situation in my entire life where I needed to mourn, but then it turned me into a victim, or I turned myself into a victim. And that is one motherfucker to get out of.
Well, there's certain scenarios where that certain case is a little different.
It is, but it taught me a lot, and I've come out the other end stronger, better, yeah. I think. More observant, more... you know, I learned a lot in that one. I learned to trust my gut. Trust your gut. It will serve you as long as you're not a victim. So anyway.
Yeah.
Another story for another day. Let's wrap it up.
I like him at the George.
Was that good for you?
That was good for me.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. We really appreciate you guys. Please like, share this with all your friends. It really helps us a lot, downloading them and sharing it on social media. Please join us on YouTube at MulchMate. Just putting MulchMate in YouTube, MULCH space MATE. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out some of the videos. Please like them. Leave us a couple comments on them. We really do appreciate it. It helps a lot. We are an American small business growing into a very, very large business, I think.
Mm. One of the flags on the container out back or backwards, by the way.
Not supposed to be that way.
I don't like it.
I know, but it's always leading forward.
No, it was leading backwards.
Are you talking about on the passenger side?
Huh?
The one on the passenger side?
Yeah, it's backwards.
I know it's supposed to be. I'll teach you that in a second.
It's driving me. It drove me. I sat behind it, and I was like, that's wrong.
For any of y'all that are listening to that, just look up the proper way to... If you hang an American flag vertically, the stars and stripes have to be on the upper left corner. If there is anything in motion, the flag always leads... So, like, on the passenger side of your vehicle, if you were to put an American flag on the passenger side, you want the stars and stripes on the upper right-hand corner. If it's on the driver's side, you want them up on the upper left-hand corner. There's actually, like, a rule book to the American flag and how that properly is applied.
Okay.
I know.
It's not working in my head.
I know, but once I teach you, you'll understand. That's how much I study.
I'll understand it, but it just it hurts my head a little bit right now.
I understand. All right. With that said, guys, I'm going to go show this to Kyle, and we hope you join us for the next episode of Life in the Fast Lane. Please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I know I told you that once already, but do it. Do it now.
And if you have any questions or you want to be a part of the journey, reach out to heyfastlane@gmail.com.
Yeah. Do you guys want to be on the podcast? Let us know, and we'll get you on the podcast. We'll have a conversation. It'll be fun.
Hey, you can hear my voice live.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Catch you in the next one. We love you.
Don't miss me too much.
Mulchmate.